Hi, I'm Keren, and this is The Divine Feminist, a podcast about putting the magic and the common sense of balance back at the very centre of our world, and along the way reconnecting with the perfect spark of usness that's always been waiting outside of the boxes and the shoulds of society, ready to bring us back to ourselves. Thank you so much for joining me. Let's get going. Well, hello, and welcome back to The Divine Feminist. As always, let me start this episode by asking, how are you? And then let me ask again, as I always do. Let me invite you to just take a moment to get quiet. Maybe close your eyes if it's safe and you can. As I ask, how are you really? How are you all the way down to the tips of your toes, all the way up to the hair on your head, all the way out to your fingers, and right around your energy field too. How is your heart, your mind, your body, your soul? How are you really? And the follow-up question to that one, as always, is, and what do you need right now? No, let's take it another step further. What do you want right now? What do all those parts of you that we've just mentioned hold most dear and most important to them in this moment, on this day? And how can you support them? How can you help them? How can you meet those needs and those wants? I like to ask that question at the start of every episode because I think it's important. I think the world can be so noisy and the world can be so fast, and we can get ourselves caught up in so many of the things that drive us outside of ourselves that all too often we forget to just come back in. We forget to just turn inwards and ask. And then, more importantly than that, we forget to listen. And even on the days that we remember that one, we forget to act upon it. Or to speak to the responses that we hear. We forget to pay enough attention to really support ourselves, to hold ourselves. And, you know, in many ways, that's the most important thing any of us can ever do in this world, isn't it? Support and hold ourselves in such a way that allows us to be wholly us, that allows us to go about the world in the way that we want to on any given day and at any given time, the way that feels important to us, the way that allows us to be of service in whatever way that means for us personally. I record this audio just a couple of days before the full moon, the lunar eclipse, and everybody I've spoken to over the last few weeks has been talking about how their fears have been running wild, their most deepest, most painful fears and wounds have been coming up to be witnessed, coming up to be felt, coming up to be heard, and at times they've wanted to just crawl under a rock and hide from it all. And then I've heard others who've said, it's not so much that I'm scared, it's not so much that the fears are coming up, it's just the exhaustion. I just feel tired. Like I've been carrying the weight of the world and I just need to put it down. And so my invitation to you as you listen to this is to do exactly that for an hour, 10 minutes if that's all you have, 5 minutes, just put it all down. Just put down whatever it is that you're carrying. And I know you're probably listening to this going, yeah, it's easy for you to say. I know. Just even for a few minutes, put down whatever it is that's making your shoulders tense, that's causing your jaw to clench, it's causing your forehead to scrunch up that little bit more. It's making your stomach twist. ask what would be needed to just let go of those things for a few minutes and allow yourself to be, you know, allow yourself to be in that moment and to go about whatever it is that you need right now. And by need, I don't mean what you need to do. I mean what you need, really, within the depths of yourself. I always talk about how one of the big things on this podcast is connecting with ourselves. And I stand by that. I think that's really important. But we have to give ourselves the space to do that. And not just when times are good and we're like, oh my goodness, I feel amazing. But when times are tough too, we have to have that courage, have that determination to turn inwards at times, to recognize how bloody amazing we are, but also to recognize how tough it can be. Sometimes to just look inwards. I know I've said this so many times in the past, but it's one of the things I love about the work that I do. The fact that there comes a moment in all of my work with clients, therapy clients, coaching clients, mentoring clients, there comes a moment where suddenly they remember their own awesomeness. They remember the fact that all of the things that they've felt beholden to for so long, burdened by for so long, that they're here. They're still standing. And that means that they must be stronger than all of those things. And when they remember that, it opens a door for them. It ignites a light in their eyes and it opens a door to a future that's built on choice rather than on duty or guilt or shame or any of those other emotions that really only ever serve to hold us back and keep us small. And so for right now, for you, I invite you to reconnect to yourself for however long you've got and just ask what you need. Let go of what you don't and see where that takes you for the next 10 minutes or the next hour or maybe even the next day. Now, with that said, I want to start today's episode with a little bit of an announcement, a little bit of a drum roll that is probably more exciting for me than anyone listening, but I'm so excited that I feel the need to share it because my answer to how are you really, today is, oh, I feel more relaxed than I have felt in a long time. Because yesterday I submitted the manuscript of the Divine Feminist book to my wonderful publisher Nicola at the Unbound Press, and I'm so excited. This book has been kind of gestating within me as a book for the last 4 years, but there's been some form of it buzzing about my head as something I need to write about since 2015. That's 6 years as I'm recording this. 6 years! Ah. And so to actually hand that book over yesterday felt like a huge weight off my shoulders, definitely. And I think this is such an important thing to say because that's not to say it was a negative weight. It was just something that I really wanted to do, something that felt like it was calling to me, like it was demanding of my energy, and I wanted to work on it, but goodness me, this book took a lot. It took me through so many of my own shadows, so many of my own fears, so many of my own challenges, and it kind of took me on a bit of a wild ride of writing. So I am super, super excited to share that with you. As I say, it's gone off to Nicola now. It has to go through a couple of rounds of editing, and then it will be out, ready for you to hold in your hands and to read and to see what you think of it in November of this year. And I can't wait. I'm really excited and a little bit nervous. With the book now done and ready to go, it means that all of those things I've been promising from the Divine Feminist are actually going to head out there. They're actually going to be ready for your consumption very soon. I am taking the rest of this week for a little bit of a breather. It's been quite a long birthing process for this book baby of mine, I think. But once that's done, I'm going to get to work on putting this community out there into the world. If you haven't heard me talk about the Divine Feminist community before, it's something I'm really passionate about. I am always, always, always passionate about those who identify as women having safe spaces in which they can be themselves, in which they can work through this journey of self-connection, of rebalancing, of embracing greater flow in their lives in a safe way and a supportive way. And in a way that's kind of semi-directed, you know, that gives them the freedom to do their own thing in their own way, but also gives some suggestions and some ideas of exactly how to do that. Some prompts, I guess you could say, to deepen their journey along the way. it's something that I've definitely benefited from in the past, and something that ever since I started this podcast, I've really wanted to offer to other people. Over the last few months, I've been putting a few samples on my website at divinefeminist.com/community. I'll pop the link in the notes for this episode, of the sort of things you can expect from the Divine Feminist community when it goes live in what will now be June. I'd hoped for April, but again, book writing took me on a wild ride. And some of those things include meditations, they include journal prompts, they include exercises for, you know, the practical deepening of your journeys with whatever topic we're talking about. They include something that some of my wonderful friends have kind of encouraged me to do, but actually I'm feeling quite passionate about. If you know me at all, you'll know that I love a good book and that I'm always wanting to make a reading recommendation wherever I can. And actually, when I started thinking about the Divine Feminist community, one of the things I was quite passionate about in the longer term was the idea that we could have a book club for those books that have really helped to deepen this journey for me and for others too. So as part of the community, I'm going to be doing a story time, in inverted commas, video every month that shares a bit of a book that means a lot to me on this subject. And of course, there'll be other things too. There will be the very fact that there will be a constant community there of people who are going along similar journeys to your own, who can understand, who can support, who can hold space. I'm going to be offering a discount on all of my other services to members of the community. So if you're looking for therapy, for coaching, if you want to take part in one of the courses that I'll be running over the coming weeks and months and years, if you're looking for some mentorship, and even if you want to get involved with a couple of the brand new things that this book process has stirred up in me, which are ready to be released almost to the world, you can get a discount on those by joining the community. Anyway, I will be putting more about that onto the Instagram feed at divine.feminist. And I'll also be talking about it in next month's newsletter, which comes out via email, and you can sign up via the link in the episode notes. Now I'm looking at the timer that is along the top of this recording software of mine and thinking, Karen, you're 11 minutes in, you've been talking about you for a good half of that. Shush, get on with the subject of today's episode. But actually the subject of today's episode kind of ties in with all of that. Certainly with the book writing process. Don't worry, this isn't going to be however long of me talking about how to write a book. That's not where I come from. But what I do want to talk about is about our voices. As you know, over the course of the last couple of months, our episodes have been focusing on those elemental energies and how they tie into where the sun is in the sky at any given time. Now we've moved into Gemini season, which is an air sign. And so I want to talk about some of the things that link most closely to the element of air. I have to be honest and say that for me, air is quite a big one. My birth chart has the sun in Aquarius, and it has my ascendant in Libra, the other two air signs. So Gemini is actually the only one of the three that doesn't have a significant planetary placing in my chart, which means that it isn't particularly highlighted as something that is a big focus in my personality, I guess. With that in mind, I'll be honest and say that as I sat down to record this, I thought, I wish the air episodes had come in Libra or Aquarius season. I would have felt like I had loads more to talk about on those subjects. But here we are. We're in Gemini season, and it's time to talk about all things air. Whenever I cast a circle for ritual and I call in the element of air, there's some things specifically that I always mention, that I always call out as blessings of that element. There's the mental aspect, the logic, the practicality, the thought. There's the clarity that can come with air. There's the refreshment that air can bring. You know, on those hot days when a cool breeze just brushes over your face and it feels like the most wonderful refreshment in the world. Those are just a few of them. But I think something for me that ties in most strongly to air is always the idea of our voices, of using our voices and connecting to our voices. And of course it makes sense that that would be linked to air, doesn't it? Because what is speech? It is air moving through our vocal cords. It is air moving through our mouths. It is air coming out of us directed through our throats in a way that allows our bodies to make sound. Pretty simple when you say it like that, right? But the thing is that speaking, using our voices in the way that feels right and powerful for us, it's often nowhere near simple, is it? When I was a kid, my dad often used to insist on me watching the news with him. For every kids TV show I watched, he would insist on me watching a little bit of news. And whenever we watched it, he would invite me to discuss it with him. He would explain to me what was happening and then say, "What do you think about that, Karen?" And we'd debate it back and forth, have a bit of a chat, until I'd formed a bit of my own opinion about it, until I'd kind of listened to his viewpoints, all of that stuff. It's something that in my adult life, he's often said he regrets because now I rarely shut up, as you may have guessed. However, even despite that, the journey to get to the point of recording this podcast every 2 weeks was quite a big one for me. I remember being a young child and being at school, auditioning for the school play. We were doing Cinderella at Christmas. It was a big deal. I was 9 years old and I desperately, desperately wanted to play Cinderella. No idea why, I just did. We went into the school hall. We each stood in our own little corners and said which part we'd like to audition for. And, you know, this not being a stage school or really none of us having had any sort of training in drama of any sort, it wasn't really a particularly formal process. We were just given a line that we had to shout out as loud as we could. I remember saying my line, saying it loudly with some projection, darling. I remember being quite proud of that. I was quite a quiet kid generally, particularly in front of groups of people. And so the fact that I had spoken loudly and tried to inject a bit of feeling into my voice felt like a big deal. And then the next girl did her audition. The next girl shouted. Shouted to the point that wherever you were in the hall, you could hear what she'd said. And guess what? She got the role of Cinderella. So when it came time a few minutes later to audition for the fairy godmother, guess who just shouted? All thought of what I was saying, of how I was saying it, of any kind of feeling went out of the window, and I just shouted that line, whatever it may have been, as loud as I possibly could, and lo and behold, I got the part. Of course, years later, when I did drama at GCSE level and in sixth form, I learned that it was a little bit more complex than that. But I always remember that lesson. That lesson of those who shout loudest are often the ones who succeed. That's something we see all around us often, or certainly something we have seen over the past however many years and decades. And in some ways, there's a value to that. You know, in some ways, when we are so incredibly passionate about something, when we have reached a point where we just need to say our piece and be heard, there's a lot to be said for that. There's a lot to be said for just getting out there and bloody well shouting. Sod what anybody else may say or think or do. We just have to say our piece from our heart, even if that's loud. However, let's be clear. That is really not an easy thing to do, particularly when sometimes that loudness, sometimes the volume with which someone speaks, literally or metaphorically, isn't judged by necessarily them being the right person to say those things, by them even knowing what the hell they're talking about. Take social media as a prime example. Someone who has a following of, I don't know, 5 million people maybe, random number plucked out the sky, could say something and it's the equivalent to the person shouting the loudest because that will get to an awful lot of people. Does that mean what they're saying is true? Does that mean what they're saying is said with the right intention, the best intentions for everyone else? And more to the point, does that mean that what they're saying is any more valid than what someone with a following of, I don't know, 200 people has to say? Absolutely not. And this is where that lesson of he who shouts loudest wins, I don't know if that's an actual phrase, but it is now. It's where that line can be so damned problematic. I'd argue for two reasons. One, because as a listener, we can often think, well, that person's not saying that very loudly. Or that person's not standing on the biggest stage with the greatest projection equipment to be able to say it. So it mustn't be valid. It mustn't be important. The second one being, though, that when we are the person who has something to say, when we are the person who is trying to speak our truth, trying to speak something with the best intentions, trying to speak something that we bloody well know the world needs to hear. When we are that person, it's so easy to think that our voice is too quiet to be heard. That our voice is too quiet to matter. And that's something I really want to remind you of here, because speaking really frankly, any little voice in your head that tells you that is talking absolute bullshit. If you have something that you need to see, if you have something that you believe can help people, if you have something that is tearing at your heart and your soul to be spoken, it doesn't matter whether you're talking to 3 people or 3 billion people. What matters is that it is said. It is put out there into the world. The power of your voice and of you making the conscious choice to use that voice in whatever way you need to and wherever and whenever you need to speak against or for. That's one of the greatest powers that I believe any of us have. It's one of the greatest powers that I believe all of us have. And what upsets me so much are all of these different structures, all of these different perceived ridiculous ideas of how and why we shouldn't be using our voices, how we are somehow not qualified to use our voices, how we are taken and pushed and shoved and just encouraged into this place of believing that our voices don't matter. It's such a lie. Every voice matters. Every single voice. From the smallest to the biggest, from the greatest reach to the most unknown. If your voice, if what you have to say, if what you have to share with the world changes the world for 2 people, even 1 person, you've done a damn good job. After all, how many times as a friend or a colleague or a family member, somebody, not necessarily somebody who is out there as some sort of guru or teacher, how many times has someone that's largely unknown to the world said something to you that has just changed your whole day or changed your whole mindset? They didn't need to have some kind of megaphone to say that. They just needed to say it quietly to you, maybe over a cup of tea or while they were standing next to you in a queue somewhere. That's all that needed to happen. And equally, you know, all you need to do is tell 2 people something. And for that to strike so deeply with those 2 people that they each tell 2 more. And for that to touch the hearts of all of those 4 people, so that each of them tell 2 more. And so on and so forth and so on and so forth. And before you know it, that message has spread. It's been able to help a lot more people. But again, this takes me back to the fact that using our voices often isn't that easy. It's not just the idea of volume. It's not just the idea of platform that puts us off from doing that. There are so many different ways that we are discouraged from sharing our voices. Even for me, who in those early years had a dad asking me to share her views on the fall of the Berlin Wall, for example, there were also other places, other people who would say to me, little girls should be seen and not heard. Ugh. That sentence. Ugh. There were times at school when the other kids would look at me like I was a geek, or would make comments about me being a geek because I would give answers in the classroom to things that I was passionate about, things that I wanted to talk about. There were times as a teenager that I would talk about particular subjects and people would tell me I was weird because they didn't want to talk about mediumship and witchy stuff and all of those things. Then growing up, there were times that I was told it wasn't professional to say certain things. Times that I was told that I shouldn't speak out in certain situations because it just wasn't my place. Not because I would hurt somebody or upset somebody, because that was the rules of that situation, that someone in my position, they didn't get to talk. I spent an awful lot of my life, as so many of us have and so many of us do, being told that I shouldn't use my voice and that I certainly shouldn't use my voice in the way I wanted to. I built a career in communications, right, where I was writing and speaking all the time. But so often I wasn't writing and speaking in my own voice. I was writing and speaking for other people, as other people. And when it came to writing and speaking in my own voice, I'd not quite know what to do because I was so used to talking through the lens of another person that I didn't really know what my voice sounded like. I didn't really know what it wanted to say. When I went full time and working for myself, I spent quite a while trying to figure out what it was that I wanted to say. I thought I knew, right? It was all up there. It had all been up there for a long time and I'd been talking about it for a while, but Somehow it just didn't seem to flow quite as well as I wanted. A month or so ago, a friend of mine was listening to the podcast and said, you know, it sounds different recently. It's as though now, when you do your podcast, somebody has taken some sort of restriction off you and you're able to just speak more freely, to speak as yourself. And I really pondered that for a while and was like, well, what's changed? You know, nothing really tangibly has changed with this podcast. I'm still me. I'm still doing this. It's no different to what it was 2 years ago or a year ago. But actually it is. Because for the first time in my adult life, I'm speaking as myself and I'm speaking for myself without anyone else trying to tell me that I need to speak in someone else's voice. And that's a really interesting thing. Because I ask you, do you know your voice? Do you know the kind of things that you want to talk about? And when it comes to talking about those things, how does it feel? When it comes to writing about those things, how does it feel? The book that I have just submitted for publication, I started writing it, as I mentioned earlier, 4 years ago. That's a hefty gestation period for a book baby, let me tell you. But when I gave the first edition of the previous version to an editor to look over, she gave it back to me quite quickly and said, this isn't in your voice. I've listened to the podcast. I know how you sound. I know what you talk about. I know you. But this book is not in your voice. It's in the voice of someone else, an author who I knew well, personally and professionally, an author who I was a big fan of at the time. And I was really shaken by that. I was like, hold on, what do you mean? How dare you? I have written this book in my voice. It's what I want to talk about. It's all of the things. And I kind of didn't know where to go with it from there. I've only learned that recently. I've only learned the way forward when I've been rewriting this book in my voice. And let me tell you that at so many different opportunities within that writing process, I would look at the manuscript, look at the last sentence I had written, and think one of two things. Either, well, that doesn't read like something I would say. Who are you trying to be here, Karen? Why are you trying to write this in someone else's voice? Or, oh my goodness, that sounds so like me. Is that okay? Is that how I want to sound? Is it a little bit too much putting myself out there in my fullness like that? What if people think that I'm not cool? Again, going back to middle school, what if I've spoken in too long sentences? What if I haven't used the same slang that everybody else would use? What if, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if? All of these things that we tell ourselves, all of these questions that we ask ourselves when it comes time to use our voice, all of them, no matter what they are, they're just versions of that question of, am I enough? They're just versions of that question of, should I just keep myself small? The way I have been told to keep myself small by the world around me my entire life. What are they really? But another version of that inner dialogue that's telling us that we should be seen and not heard. And even then, we should only be seen if we look a certain way, but that's a subject for another day. You know, we mistrust our voices so much. We think that we are not knowledgeable enough. We think that we are not eloquent enough. We think that we are not wise enough. We think that we are not confident enough. But what if the world had never needed us to be perfect in order to share what needs to be shared? What if the world had a need for voices that were louder, that were quieter? For voices with really strong regional accents to make other people who spoke in their own accents think, it's actually not that big a deal that I speak like this. It doesn't make me any less than or any more than. What if there is someone out there who maybe isn't as eloquent as the folks you see on TV or those who do those regular great big Insta streams and wanted to hear someone who spoke in words that were more comfortable for them? There are, what is it, 7 point something billion people on this world? And you cannot tell me that every one of them wants to hear the identikit speaker, the identikit teacher. That every one of them will respond positively to the identikit voice that we're encouraged to hear out there. Often what we need to hear the voices of people who are going to challenge us. Just as much as we need to hear the voices of people who are going to resonate as being similar to us. It's why every one of us, I believe, should be able to speak out in whatever way feels right, be that writing, and be that writing a book or a blog or an Instagram post, be that speaking, and be that speaking on a podcast, a radio interview, a lecture circuit, or just to the people around them. No one gets to decide how good, how valid our voice is. They might have told us they do, but you know what? That's absolute crap. No one gets to decide how valid our message is other than us anymore. We no longer live in a world where we have to go through gatekeepers in order to speak our truth. Now we can do that in whatever way we need to. But to do that, we have to overcome the wounding inside that stops us from doing that. And that is absolutely that wounding of smallness, that wounding of not enoughness. It's that wounding of remembering who we bloody well are. It's that wounding of remembering how once upon a time, before we knew whatever it is that we're going to say, we needed somebody like us to say it. And that wounding of remembering that even now, there are people who are struggling with things and just desperately wishing somebody would speak up. And that maybe, just maybe, we can be the people who do that. And it's also that wounding that's come from persecution. You know, be that the persecution of those kids at school who would say to me, such a geek for wanting to talk about this stuff. Be it the wounding of oppressed groups of people who are told that if they speak out, they're being angry and no one will listen to someone who's angry. Why don't you calm down and say your message in a more measured way? Even just taking on that voice wants me to tell myself where to go. So I apologize if it upset anyone listening. But there's also a persecution that goes deeper than that. It's interesting, as I've been writing this book, and while writing the book, I've really been leaning into some of the more, I guess you could say, witchy parts of myself that I haven't put out there as part of my business a great deal yet. That I've always kind of known needed to be part of the work that I was doing, but I've hidden away a little bit from for various reasons. It's interesting that while I've been doing that, there has not been a single day in the past month that my throat has not hurt. Even recording this now, I'm sitting next to a cup of lemon and ginger tea that I'm sipping regularly because it's so hurting my throat to talk. Now, I don't have COVID. I don't even have some form of throat infection. But when I am using my voice, when I am using my voice for the things that I know I need to be talking about, that are kind of being screamed at from my soul to talk about, it's hurting my throat, physically hurting my throat. Now, maybe that's psychosomatic, but I also can't help but think, being me and having the insights I have into my soul's journey here, being me and having the beliefs that I have and the views that I have, that it's more than a little bit to do with the things that have been done to my throat in the past when I've spoken my truth. Look at the witches who were hung. So many witches in the Middle Ages who were hung. Look at the people over the years who've had their throats slit to prevent them from spilling important pieces of wisdom and insight to the world. Look at those people who have literally had hands put around their throat to keep them quiet. And so many others. We could go into this in so much depth. The throat has, for so much of history, been a place to kill people. Because we didn't want them speaking. A place to kill people because we didn't want their insights being shared with the world. We didn't want their knowledge being shared with the world. It's easy to think that reclaiming our voice is something that can be done after we've healed those wounds. We go and see a few people, they work their magic on us, they do something and ta-da, our throats are better and everything's fine and now we can speak. And sometimes that works. I am absolutely not adverse to a bit of healing. Definitely not, in many different forms. But what if sometimes the very thing that we can do, the very thing that will help us to reclaim our voices most of all, is to rebuild that part of ourselves, is to rebuild the trust in what we have to share, to rebuild the trust in the fact that our voices can actually say that out to the world, and is to rebuild the courage to just speak. To speak what needs to be spoken, to write what needs to be written, and to put ourselves out there in the world as us. This isn't easy. This is bloody hard stuff. It's hard when we're first trying to figure out what that message is, to actually know what it is that we want to see. It's hard once we know that, to know how to put it across in a way that people will resonate with. Because our logical brains get in the way a bit much, don't they? And certainly those anxious little worry voices inside our brains will have an awful lot to say about this. But there's something I've learned from writing this book, and actually I've learned many, many times in the past too, maybe one day that learning will stick, is the fact that often the most powerful times we can use our voices aren't the times we think about it deeply. They aren't the times we wrap ourselves up in knots trying to find the perfect sentence or the perfect intonation with which to say something. Often, the most powerful times we use our voices are when we just speak from the heart, when we write from the heart, when we just say or speak what needs to be said or spoken, with no ulterior motive, with no plan except to just share what it is that we need to share with the world. I'm going to wrap this episode up now. A little shorter than the usual Divine Feminist episodes would be, but did I mention that I've got a bit of a sore throat? But before I do, there's a couple of things I wanted to mention to you. First of all, on the community that I discussed right at the start of this episode. I will be sharing more about that very soon, but for this particular episode, I won't be putting the same pack of preview materials out there as I have the last few weeks. That's not because I don't want to. It's just because while I'm working on all the background stuff to actually get the community up and running, I think it's important that I focus my energy on that. These materials take a little bit of time, so I'm going to focus on those things. But remember that there are packs of materials up there for our last, I believe, 3 episodes that you can always go back into, dive back into, and see how you feel. One is the fact that if you are somebody who is struggling with speaking or with writing in your truth, I want to share with you a couple of things that have been really, really beneficial to me over the years. Some things that various wise people have told me and that whenever I've put into play have inevitably helped. And no, one of them isn't if you're standing in front of a crowd, imagine them all naked. Believe me, for all people will frequently say that's a top tip for public speaking, personally, I've always found it to be anything but. However, something I have found to be really important is the reminder to breathe. The reminder that when you are speaking publicly, or indeed just speaking to a few people or on a Zoom call or whatever it is, remember to breathe. I've probably said this before on this podcast, but when I first started practicing as a therapist, I always used to make sure I had a glass of water in the room with me. Not because I got particularly thirsty, although hydration is important, of course, but because if a client said something and I needed a few moments to just regroup, to get myself together, to figure out what it was that I wanted to say, even if I'd just been listening really intently and wanted to give myself a moment to like catch up, I would reach out, take a sip of the water and put it down. No one expects you to talk when you're taking a sip of water. And equally, if you just pause for a moment and breathe, people tend not to think that you're weird or that you're stalling. Instead, they just think that you're doing the most perfectly natural thing for a human being to do. You're breathing. So remember to come back to your breath every single time, remember. And remember equally that power in just giving yourself to something. You know, there will be people, as there was with me back at school when I was a kid, who will look at your passion and laugh. Who will look at your passion and go, how weird is it that they're talking about that? What a strange thing to talk about. Why are they so excited? Why are they so keen? You remember a few years ago when Taylor Swift was constantly mocked for the fact that every time she won an award, she would get up and be so excited and be like, oh my goodness, thank you so much for this award. It means the world to me. Ooh! And in the end, she came out and said, what's the big deal? So I'm passionate. So I love what I do. So I'm grateful to be recognized for what I do. So I am forever excited about being part of this, about being able to do something that inspires people, inspires all sorts of people all over the world. Why the hell shouldn't I be excited? Now, maybe Taylor Swift is your bag. Maybe she's not. But Frankly, that's beside the point. Because the point is the same for all of us, that if you're passionate about something, the greatest detriment you can have to yourself, sod everybody else, to yourself, is to not be in that passion, to not embrace that passion. Let me tell you from experience, the experience of a girl who tried to play it so cool when she was in a performance of Grease at school at the age of maybe 15, that actually, if you were to watch that video back of me in Grease, you would laugh at me. I laugh at me. I won't watch it anymore. Because I was so scared of giving my all. I was so scared of giving too much and people laughing at me that, frankly, I didn't give enough. Frankly, all of my dance routines look half-hearted. My singing's just far too quiet to hear. You know what? That looked more silly than not throwing myself into it. I, at that point in my life, loved Grease, loved drama, loved singing. How much less silly I would have looked if I'd just thrown myself into it and allowed my passion to fuel me. And it's that that I want to remind you of. That final piece, that whatever it is that you need to speak out in support of, to write against, or vice versa. Wherever it is that you need to use your voice, and let's be honest, voice isn't just speaking or writing. It could be art, it could be photography, it could be movement, it could be something else entirely. Wherever it is that you need to use your voice, it's not a coincidence that you're being called to do that. It's calling to you because it's one of the drivers of your heart and soul. It's something that you're passionate about. It's something that's important to you. And it's something that, oh, gods, I hope can enable you, can help you to be of service to someone else or someone's else. We don't know. We never know until we go out there and we just bloody do it. So whatever it is that you are being called to speak for or against, however it is that you are being called to use your own voice, I invite you to take this as your reminder that your voice is so worthy, that your voice is so needed, and that your voice is absolutely, perfectly, wonderfully enough. Thank you so much for listening to The Divine Feminist. If you'd like to know more about today's episode, check out the show notes below. If you want to know more in general, head over to Instagram where it's @divine.feminist or to my website, karenroundtree.com/divinefeminist. I'll be back again with another episode in 2 weeks. But until then, I'd love to hear from you. So please get in touch if you have any questions, feedback, or suggestions of what you'd like to hear. If you don't want to miss out on future episodes, be sure to subscribe in your favourite podcast store. And hey, if you feel so called, maybe give us a rating there too. Ideally 5 stars. Until next time though, thank you and take care.